How to do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Wednesday, January 29th. This is 2020. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Kelly.
Glad to have you with me. I didn't realize it was the musical edition today. John Martellaro, I hope you're ready.
This is 2020. This is Hugh Downs. Oops. Oh, wait a minute. This is John.
Brian, have you been swapping cards in John's memory banks again?
Yeah, I have. I'm sorry.
Dang it.
My mistake, clearly.
Daisy.
Oh, no. Okay, that escalated quickly. I don't know how to come back from that.
You don't even know. You're like, you're done. That's it.
Yeah. Good night, everybody.
Yeah. See ya.
I'll just play the theme. We'll talk tomorrow. Be excellent to each other. Initially, we started out hoping to talk about a little phone call yesterday where Apple shared all of their earnings information. Brian, can you give us some of the numbers that Apple came out with yesterday?
Sure. Yeah, I think I could do that. Let's see here. First of all, Apple turned in revenues of $91.8 billion
with a B.
One quarter.
Yes.
With a B.
That's a number where you have to hold your pinky to the corner of your mouth when you say it, right?
It's a lot of money.
$98 billion.
It's a lot of money, and they had earnings per share of $4.99. So for every share of Apple outstanding, Apple earned almost $5 in profit for that share.
Yeah.
Just absolutely crazy. And this was significantly up year over year, meaning compared to the December quarter from 2018. Yeah, keep in mind, by the way, the December quarter is Apple's first fiscal quarter. So it's why you'll usually see like Q1, even though it's the December quarter.
Yeah.
Otherwise known as the Christmas quarter.
Right.
Also known as the Christmas quarter, also known as the December quarter, and for Apple known as Q1. So in Q1 of 2019, meaning December of 2018, Apple did a paltry, a measly $84.3 billion in revenue.
How did they survive to have another December quarter?
I don't even know. I don't even know. But here is why the stock is up today. And the stock is up today. It's because Wall Street was expecting Apple to turn in $88.48 billion. That was the consensus estimates on Wall Street for this quarter. So Apple was up year over year, but they also beat expected earnings. Expected revenue and expected earnings, by the way. And the earnings that Apple had were an all-time record. The sales were an all-time record. The revenues number was an all-time record. So not just a December record, but an all-time record. But of course, most of Apple's all-time records are in the December quarter. So that's important to remember.
The December quarter is a holiday quarter when people are doing a lot of gift giving, whether it's to someone else or whether it's to themselves. Right. And historically, as I recall, correct me if I'm wrong, Brian, but the holiday quarter has been a good one for iPads.
Yes.
Yes. But for the year, Apple was down, and the Christmas quarter didn't make up the slack for the iPads, and they were down quite a bit in iPad sales.
Which was interesting in part because Apple was up in iPad sales the year before, which, so in some ways, I guess it could be a tough compare.
Using Luca Maestri's language, tough compare.
A tough compare, yep, and that was that's, you know, standard finance jargon there. But it's also probably worth noting that Apple didn't do that one weird trick for goosing sales, which was to release a new Pro model. Right? The Pro models that were on sale this December quarter were introduced in September, I think, or October of 2018.
Yeah.
Right? So,
probably
so that
contributor.
Yeah. I'm sure it was a contributor. It's like, you know, every once in a while, it really seems like Apple's figured out that whole, oh my goodness, if we release a new model every year, we'll sell more stuff.
Well, Brian, I start
getting hopeful.
I have a crackpot theory about that.
Ooh.
Okay.
Well, yes, John. There were days when Apple would announce pretty good results. And as you explain, the stock goes down. Because maybe they didn't quite reach their estimated goal, or the... Wait,
can I interject there, John?
Go ahead.
I think this is important. This is the old reality that Wall Street expectations are what are the foundation of any company's stock, but especially right. a company like Apple, not the actual performance. It's how that performance compares to what Wall Street was already expecting. Because whenever right. Wall Street starts expecting something, it prices that stock as if that thing has already happened. Mm-hmm. So right. then when a company does right. better than those expectations, the stock will go up. And if the company does less well than those expectations, the stock will go down.
So this time Apple This time Apple did much better than expectations, so the stock went up the morning Correct. After.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Correct.
Well, okay, so maybe my theory is wrong, but I mean, let me just throw it out there. It seems to me, from years of watching Apple, that the services revenue is introducing a degree of stability that we never got from a uniform rollout of products. And provides a steadily increasing revenue because services are always there. Once you build them, you can add new services or you can grow those services. You can enrich those services. Services revenue kind of takes care of itself. Whereas engineering new hardware requires a lot of work and happens in fits and starts. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering whether the services revenue is perhaps helping to stabilize the situation and produce a steadily increasing revenue that analysts can't predict based on sales of products.
Services are still a minor part of Apple's overall. Well,
surpassed the Mac and really? iPad sales. It's $12 billion.
Yeah, it's more than iPads.
Yeah,
true. Revenue. But it's not.
It's almost twice touching, the iPad.
But it's not touching iPhone yet.
No.
And it probably won't touch iPhone until iPhone is replaced by something else.
But here's the thing. Yeah. I was reading analysis from Jason Snell over at Macworld. Hi, Jason. And he was pointing out profit, which is a thing that's interesting here, which is gross margin on products is 34.2%, and on services it's 64.4%.
Yeah.
So services has like twice the margin. And so then to see that it's growing like double digits, and didn't they say that they're like adjusting again upward to what they want their services revenue to ultimately be? Because it was something about like they wanted to double it by 2020, and they already have.
Yeah, that was their 2016 goal. But then wasn't there a comment about increasing it again by 2022 by some amount?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like they were like, we did so well, we're gonna add a new marker to hit. So, and when you're hitting it with something that makes you twice as much money as the other stuff you're doing, that seems like a really interesting metric to kind of dig into a little bit.
Well, that relates to that, Brian. That makes me wonder about a question that I wish the analyst had mentioned. I wrote about in my article yesterday, and that is, why did nobody ask where people are watching Apple TV Plus? Are they watching it predominantly on iPads? And if services are growing and people are playing arcade games and watching, reading news and watching Apple TV on their iPads, why did iPad sales go down and services go up? I haven't figured that out.
Because nobody wants a $1,000 iPad. That's not an easy upgrade decision, I would think.
I would think that part of that, John, is that you'd be surprised at how much Apple TV content is being consumed on iPhones, and that you'd perhaps be surprised at how many of the arcade games are being
played. I probably would be. I would be not the first person to play an arcade game or watch Apple TV on a phone, even though I have a 10S Max and it's a gloriously big display, but still.
Yeah, and I'm with you, man. I do stuff like that on my iPad Pro.
Yeah.
That's where I consume stuff like that. But there are just a whole bunch of people who do that stuff on their iPhone. So that's probably part of it.
Yeah.
And Apple's hobby of the Apple TV is probably also part of it. Plus, don't forget how many people are double dipping into multiple services, be it on their iPhone or their iPad. Uh-huh. You know, with like a News Plus subscription, and not that News Plus is Apple's biggest service, but maybe TV, maybe arcade, maybe Apple Music. Certainly a lot of the Apple Music, I would imagine that Apple Music is a disproportionately large percentage of Apple services revenue. Apple doesn't break that stuff out, but I would imagine that music is a disproportionately large percentage of that. And of course, that's something that people are going to take to whatever their device they have at hand, especially their iPhone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. All right. So some other numbers you had asked for numbers. We got briefly sidetracked. Services were 12.72 billion. That was the one major number that lagged behind Wall Street consensus. Wall Street had been expecting 13.06 billion. Apple had reported 55.96, so essentially 56 billion in iPhone revenues. And remember that Apple no longer breaks out individual unit sales for each model. Mm-hmm. And then that was significantly ahead of Wall Street expectations of 51.2 billion. So the iPhone had a very, very good quarter, and Wall Street ate it up. The stock was up 874 in after hours trading yesterday. As of this particular moment, I think this is 12. We're recording. I'm making this statement at 12:44 p.m. Eastern time.
Yes.
And at that moment, Apple's stock is trading at $326.85, which is up $9.16, which is slightly higher than yesterday's after hours market.
Interesting.
And volume is very, very strong today. It's already at 35.3 million shares trading hands. Average volume for the last 10 days has been 32.3 million shares trading hands. So that's some pretty strong volume considering there's still several hours to go in the regular trading session. Mm-hmm. So then we should also probably mention that Apple said it bought back, how much was it, John? Was it $3.5 billion?
$3.5 billion worth of stock, I thought.
I thought it was 25 million worth of stock. I think it was like $3.5 billion in dividends and... And can I take notes on that? No, I did not. Excellent. But I thought it was $25 billion in share buybacks, or $40 billion even in share buybacks, and then $3.5 billion in dividends. If only we had a way of actually researching that, right? Apple dividends, December quarter. Sausage. Sausage being made. Sausage being made. Dividends, $3.5 billion in dividends and $20 billion in share repurchases. So super close on all of
that. Wow.
And that was just in the quarter. And you know, that buying back all those shares is part of what's propelling Apple's earnings per share to go up, right? Because they're removing a whole lot of shares from the market, which means that the profits that they have go further per share. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yeah.
And then just looking at a brief, I know that Charlotte right now, as we speak, is working on a piece sort of rounding up what different analysts are saying. Going by headlines, I'm seeing that Goldman Sachs is maintaining neutral. Baird is maintaining outperform. Maxim upgraded Apple to a hold. They're apparently not huge Apple fans there. maintained at a buy by Monis Crespi Hart, a firm I'm not familiar with. Maintained at a buy by D.A. Davidson. Maintained at neutral by Nomura. And yeah, and we're seeing some various headlines, people looking for reasons to be cranky with Apple. But the reality is, it was a great quarter. They beat expectations. And here's the interesting thing, John. We talked about this as it was happening, but it was this great quarter and this great announcement. And the conference call with analysts was a snooze fest.
It was. I was bored out of my mind.
Oh, yeah.
It was really boring.
And the analysts were asking really interesting questions. Speaking of the financial analysts, I have a question for you. Except for Shannon Cross and Katie Huberty, it seemed like there was a whole flock of new analysts on the call. They were traditional guys and gals weren't there.
Yes.
I wonder what's going on there. Did you notice that? And do you have any idea why?
I did notice that. I do not know why. I don't know if the other analysts weren't there, if they've moved, because firms do, you know, change what people may be covering. Uh-huh. And then people obviously retire. Sometimes people change from another firm. And during that transition period, they're typically not going to be on a conference call. But there were certainly a lot of new voices and new names, including, and it's people asking questions that were just really stupid, like, you know, so tell us basically what you're going to do with the 5G iPhone. And then Tim's like no.
Didn't that really just sound like a rookie mistake? Almost like, I don't know. It felt like a lot of JV players were sent up to the big game to me.
I heard a local song at a local coffee shop. I'm going to quote the chorus. It was a rookie mistake. It was a rookie mistake. It was the kind of mistake that a rookie would make. It was an awful, awful song. But yes, it was those were rookie mistakes. There was the one guy who asked basically, like, so, you know, where do you see the market going with 5G? He was trying to get Tim to comment on the industry, but, you know, Tim's like, we don't talk about unannounced products. Go away.
I had a list of questions I would ask. Tell me if you think they're any good.
I want to know.
What are people watching Apple TV on most? Is it iPad, their phone, or Apple TV?
Mm-hmm.
Are you pleased with the Mac Pro sales to date?
Yes.
Are you planning?
There was nothing about the Mac Pro yesterday, which I was surprised.
Are you planning additional investments in Apple TV Plus, given the success you've had so far?
That would have been a good question. Wall Street doesn't care about the Mac Pro because it's never going to. It's never.
I know, these are just questions I would ask.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but I like that last question in particular. I like that last question in particular. I wonder if they would have answered it. You know, Apple, Tim and Luca.
Well, it's a product that's for sale, and they're either pleased with the results so far or they're not, without giving out any numbers. So it would have been nice to hear Tim Cook say, yes, we had low expectations for the Mac sales, and we exceeded them, and we're very pleased with the sales so far. That would have been nice.
Right. It just felt like, I did hear a bunch of different people, and you know, we didn't have the regular voice on the call anymore because the last earnings call, we talked briefly about how that was the last one for her. But so it felt like everybody was new, kind of. There were a couple of people that sounded familiar, but there was a whole lot of it seemed like there were a whole bunch of people whose names I didn't recognize who were sort of asking these, like, you know, oh, Tim probably took some DayQuil. I can totally get him to tell me about the iPhone 12 kind of questions. And I'm like, no, like I found it really boring because we've heard people try to get information out of people on the earnings call for ages and it never works. You know, the only stuff that comes out on the earnings call is the stuff they want to come out on the earnings call. Like, I won't remember, you guys will have to back me up on this, but there was a point where Steve Jobs announced a new version of the operating system was going to come out the next day on the earnings call.
That rings a vague bell.
Like, that's a thing that I remember, was like, nobody asked about it, and he was like, oh yeah, by the way. And nobody asked any watch questions, which I also thought was sort of, Or if they did, maybe that was when I was nodding off during
the... under the wearables category.
Yeah. But I thought somebody might ask specifically, even if they wouldn't give us numbers, really
interesting
like...
interesting question.
Like John's Mac Pro question, are you satisfied with your Series 5... You know, what does Series 5 sales look like for the December quarters?
What intrigued me was the availability of the Apple Watch Series 3 being restricted.
Yeah.
That must be flying off the shelves at some discounted price for an older model.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what price is, but it must be popular.
There was one interesting Apple Watch question, which was, Apple said, Tim Cook said that 75% of Apple Watch buyers in the December quarter were new to Apple Watch. And so one of the analysts asked, it might have even been Shannon. She's super smart. I really like her.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, the question was, you said that 75% of Apple Watch buyers were new to the Apple Watch, but how many of them were new to the Apple ecosystem? In other words, is the Apple Watch bringing people to the Apple ecosystem? And Tim didn't really, it was a great question. Tim didn't really give a whole lot of insight. He basically said that you know, most people are coming to Apple Watch and they already have an iPhone. Of course, you have to have an iPhone to do an Apple Watch. Mm-hmm. But he said that he thought that that every product probably brings in new people to some degree or another. It was kind of a nothing answer, but it was a really, really good question.
If I read it correctly, and I may be wrong, but I seem to recall a mental note that he finished that sentence with a comment that there were some people who bought an Apple Watch first instead of an iPhone first. Do you remember that?
Which is a very confusing statement to me.
Yeah, I was taken aback by that. You cannot operate, configure, pair, and use an Apple Watch.
Yeah, I actually thought he said the exact opposite.
Maybe I misunderstood.
Yeah, we may need to go back and listen to that and see if
we have the audio.
We might have been snoozing at the time, so it's possible we're getting that backwards. So, but I did remember somebody asking about it being new to Apple, and I thought that was an odd question for the watch, particularly. So,
sometimes Tim Cook uses the earnings report as an opportunity to spill the beans on something he wants to promote or wants to talk about.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't do that this time.
Well, yeah, I've got so that was actually one of the observations I was that I wanted to make. There's two observations. One is that when Apple has a quarter that is not stellar, Tim goes into salesman mode where he's like super upbeat and you know, like every little tidbit is like, you know, isn't that amazing? In this particular conference call, what I heard was triumph. He was triumphant. He was just like, you know, heck yeah, look at these sales, and heck yeah, look at these iPhone sales, and woo, Apple Watch. I mean, he was just like, you know, he was triumphant, he was proud, and it was a pretty interesting distinction to me, to my ears, compared to when he was in salesman mode. The second observation is that, John, you and I have talked about this a lot, where it always seems like Luca and Tim have a list of things that they're going to say, and then a list of things that they will answer, and then a list of things that they'll say if no one asks about, because they want to get it out.
Right.
And in this particular conference call, there was none of that. There didn't seem like there was anything that Apple wanted to get out, regardless of whether or not the analyst asked. And that could be because they felt they didn't need to, and it could be because everything that they wanted to get out was actually asked. But considering the nature of the questions, I don't think that was the case.
Did you notice that Tim Cook, and I think both Tim and Luca, but mostly Tim, were very curt in their responses and kind of left air hanging after some of their responses?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I thought,
but, you know, how much of that was the question? Some of the questions were stupid. Katie Hughes' question was stupid. She is an analyst that I don't think ever grokked Apple or understood Apple, and I am seldom impressed with her questions, and I'm seldom impressed with her commentary, and that was certainly the case this time around. Shannon Cross, by comparison, is someone who always just strikes me as just a, you know,
yeah, I agree with Shannon. Yeah.
But there were a lot of other questions that were, you know, those rookie mistakes that we talked about earlier. And those were definitely like, you know, Tim in particular was curt on those.
Yeah.
Maybe it was his way of moving through the analyst list. Because there are a lot of senior ones.
So yeah, that's true. Lastly, I should mention that I own a very tiny stake in Apple. I am an Apple shareholder, and I like to always be clear about that. My tiny stake has never affected what I say about Apple, good or bad.
Brian made $5. No, I'm kidding.
Tiny stake.
Well, the stock is up $9. I made tens of dollars.
I was kidding.
Tens of dollars.
All right. So lunch is on Brian when we're done recording here today. and there goes all your dividends. Well, thanks both of you for being here to talk to me about this. I think this was definitely more informative than the Q&A session after the call yesterday. And as Brian mentioned earlier, Charlotte is working on a piece rounding up some of the analysis from other folks that is more interesting. And I think that's going to do it for us for today. John, I look forward to more editorializing from you. I'd like to read that piece about all the questions you would have asked. So thanks for being here today, John.
You're welcome.
Brian, thanks for being here as always.
Yep, thanks for having us. Definitely a good quarter for Apple. Regardless of the boring conference call, the December quarter was just truly outstanding. It's so, you know, it's so funny, Kelly. I know you're trying to say goodbye, but it's so funny that such a good quarter could result in such an incredibly boring conference call. But it's also just, I mean, like I remember when, like, you know, Apple did like, you know, $1 billion in a quarter.
Mm-hmm. Me too. And we're on track to see $100 billion in a quarter. Like, you can see that from here.
If not Q1 2021, Q1 2022, unless of course we all die of the coronavirus.
Well, yeah, there is that. Again. this escalates really quickly. Note. All right. So it's been a real emotional roller coaster having both of you on the show today. John, thanks again for being here now that we're wrapping up for real.
My pleasure. Again, Brian. You're welcome.
Brian, thanks for being here as always.
Thanks for having us. Good to be here.
I like when you come talk stock market with us. It always makes me feel like I've learned something at the end of it. And I hope all of you did too. If you have more questions about the earnings call or any of the other stuff that we've ended up discussing today, you can get us at observations@macobserver.com. You can catch us at TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can leave comments in the show notes. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.